Well, we're back into our teaching again. We're looking at when will Jesus come back. And we talked about in the beginning, we're not trying to do any predictions. And, you know, I really thought it was funny because I looked on a thing online today and watched a video thing. And this wasn't a Christian thing, but it was there. Because they were laughing at these people who said that, you know, this was the end of the world and Jesus was coming back. Because there was an earthquake and then there was this eclipse and there's this comet and so... And there was Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen. And they were all there, so they were going to, you know, the Lord's come back. This is the end of the world. And I hope it's the end of their nonsense. That's what I... That's what I'm hoping. So, but people are talking, and see, when people get it, number one, and I want you to get a hold of this. We are not looking for natural signs.
Amen.
You're born of the Spirit. God is in you.
Amen.
You're going to know by the inward. We're the church. We are not like the rest of the world. We're not like God talking to the Jews who were not born again. We're not in that class, folks. And see, the church needs to rise up in its place where it is and quit acting like it's the rest of the world. Hallelujah. We got God in us. And He's going to show you, don't worry, you ain't going to miss it.
Amen.
You're not going to, you know, God will reveal things to us, you know. I'm in this big thing. Sit back and relax. My words, you know. You're not going to get anything being nervous and worried and all this kind of stuff and trying to figure all these things out and that stuff. I don't have any charts. I don't have any of that stuff. I'm not trying to work one up. I'm not trying to figure that thing. Because it does not lead to anything but confusion. God's called me to walk by faith. He's given me a job to do while I'm in the earth here, and that's it. I mean, I don't have to worry about the rest of it. The rest of it's not mine. I don't have to decide when He's coming back. I don't have to figure none of that. I don't have to do that stuff. That's in His hand, and He can sure notify me when it's ready. Glory to God. So let's just walk and live there and enjoy ourselves. One of the things that we can see things, because Scripture does tell us certain things, that one of the things God will speak to us, and one of the things we're dealing with, we talked the last time about prophecy from Kenneth Hagin. We're going to look at another one of his prophecies, because, and also we're going to look at some others. There's things that the Lord spoke to me. Is one thing as I learned to do is I've taught about this before and talked about it many times. God follows patterns. And you'll see the same patterns of things and same patterns of stuff. You know, I've watched over the years, especially in the areas of prophecy, and there's some people always have these nothing but always glorious prophecies, like nothing's ever going to go wrong when nothing ever goes right. But they always have this stuff. But it ends up nothing to it. I mean, there's no pattern of anything ahead. You know, it's just like people, you know, we're going to have more in 24. And, you know, they go and they said, you know, I like Randy Greer said, I wouldn't need God to tell me that. I could make up something like that by myself. But it is, you know what? More in 24. I'm just going to guarantee you, there's going to be many Christians. 24 is not going to work out well for them. Many Christians. God's been speaking back, and when I look back and I followed with Randy Greer, and it's been accurate. Back to, from 2018 on up, he kept warning about ahead. And God kept warning me about ahead. And you know what? Many Christians, they don't know what's going on at all, because they've been keep getting these guys, these prophecies. It's just going to be great this year. But naturally, it don't turn out great. But that doesn't mean it can't turn out great for you. Because what they're looking for, nice things to happen, and everything keeps happening, it ain't nice. It destroys their faith. They can't stand because they keep listening to these guys saying things, and we need to bring a stop to it. And so we talked about, you know, the last time of Kenneth Hagin's vision from back in 1950. We're going to look at the one. I had handed this out in church before. This prophecy of Kenneth Hagin from 1963, it was a vision that he had. Shouldn't say prophecy, it's a vision. Which took place while he was ministering at a church. He was preaching at the time when he had his vision. One of the things that I followed with him, and I've had other people do the same thing, where they had visions while they were preaching. And the people said they listened to their teaching, and they went on and preached, but they weren't there the whole time. But they were preaching the whole time, yet they had a vision. People got caught up to heaven more than one time. This has happened to individuals. And so, but he had this, and we want to talk about it because dealing with the end times, looking at the time that we're in, if you understand what's going on around you, then you will not be moved in your faith. If you expected everything around you to be the greatest time and we're all going to be, oh, come by God, all this kind of stuff, and it doesn't happen, what happens is like, well, what's going on? They said we were just going to, if you know that there's going to be stuff going on that aren't, hey, they said this. So, no biggie, we know about it. But see, God's word don't change on that. But God tells us things that are going to be happening around us. His word doesn't change. We can still walk in faith with him and he'll still bless us. And, you know, we can go on with that. But it's so we're not moved by what's happening around us. The average person, Christians, are completely moved by what's happening around them. You know, people say, you know, we've got to pray about this election. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, I ain't praying about the election. That ain't number one on my agenda. We need a move of God.
Amen.
And I believe what we need most is what people at the church is spending all of its time worrying about something political. You know, if God can't get the guy in office, then he ain't as big as he said he was if he wants someone. You know? So, but there's things that need to be prayed out and things that we need to do. And as we go on, I don't know if tonight we're specific we'll talk about, but we're going to talk about this as we go on here, is the need for some of these things. But I want to read you this vision because this thing here speaks really into our time. It starts off and it says, this vision, it says, "Yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me." He said, "The Spirit of God moved upon me, and the voice of God spoke unto me and said, come up hither, son of man." He said, "I went as it were up in the air and stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see a map laid out before me, the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, behold, son, I shall show you that which shall come to pass. And that's what the eyes of many shall see. And they shall remember that their ears heard that it shall come to pass. He said, for there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand. And as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud and even filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spoke to me and said, son, this is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. We can see this today. This is going on out here today. This is what today they call this socialism. It is communism. That's exactly what it is. And it's moving in and it's causing, listen what he says. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now, but liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. Now, you know, I just want you to know this. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the FISA court things and that stuff they do with. Well, anyhow, they passed these laws, this FISA court laws back through. And this is a lot of what the FBI and them used illegally to get a Trump and things and all this kind of stuff. And they illegally did it. Nothing's ever been done about it. Yet they, no, illegally they did it. Well, anyhow, this FISA things, they run on a, like say, when the law is passed that they can run it, it can run, it runs for so many years, then it has to be approved again. And, our heads of our Republican Party are trying to push it through. There was like 20 Republicans in the House of Representatives stood up and stopped the bill on the thing. Because this thing does, it allows these people to just go out here and to ordinary citizens. That's how they got after the Catholic Church, because of people, you know, against abortion and all kind of stuff. And they're doing all this kind of thing. It's all using this stuff. And the main Republicans are pushing it. They're going to protect you and I. You know, we need them to protect us. I'm fed up with the Republican Party up to here. They don't represent me. But we were told this stuff's going to happen in here. I mean, we're living in this. We're in the middle of this thing. He went on, he said, and I looked again and he said, I could see upon the mountains a blotch as though a bottle of ink had been spilled and spread over several states in the south and east. And he said, then I looked and I could see, he said, splotches, blotches all over the map. And I said, Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause great turmoil than your nation has ever seen. Therefore, yea, it is not the will of God, but man's hearts are perverse and they walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, oh Lord, is there a remedy? What is the answer to this? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, Paul said that to Timothy, had written that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13, but the Lord, since he's the author of the Bible made the statement, but he stated it. It says, "And then I said, O Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except darkness and the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, Son of man, forget not your text, for you look at things not seen." And the title of the message that he was preaching that night was looking at things unseen. So it says, "And so then he said, I looked into the spirit realm when I saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. He said, then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls of sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were fire. And there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. When I first saw it, it seemed like their whole head were on fire, but it was a tongue of fire leaping. And he said, and I said, what means this? What's the meaning of this? And he said, before the worst shall come, and the day of darkness encompassed." Now, as he said, before the worst shall come and the darkness and come. I just want to see, we're hearing about both sides. And this is one thing that we need to understand, is the both sides. We're heading in this thing, there's a move of God, but there's a move of evil. And we're living in day, and you're going to see. Now, the church is going to be taken before, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin back in 1952, before the things get worse, the church would be taken. And here we have, really, he's verifying that again to him in this vision. He said, "There will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of my," he said, "of my truth and the fire, not only to this state of the, and the this states of the nations, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand, and the beginning is now, and ye shall see, and ye shall know, as the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many of you shall be used these last days, and the works shall progress." Now, so in other words, we're going to see there's talk of evil, in which we see today. We see the evil. But there's one thing. There's going, and we need to understand, there's a move of God that's coming. We can't be moved just because we see the evil. There's a move of God. Now, God wants to bring out the past. There's things that we need to do and cooperate with for God to be able to do this. And we need to understand this, is the church basically is waiting for God to do things without them doing anything. And we need to, we'll deal with these things later on. Now, one of the things that he did say in this, because in between here, the Lord spoke to him concerning his ministry. But then the Lord said this to him. He said, at that time, he said, "For the word of the Lord came to me saying, the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. For even in the days of old, under the old covenant, the prophet would see by vision and prophecy. And so the prophetic vision shall be restored unto the church. And this is the time, and this is the hour, and this is the place." In other words, God saying, restoring to the church, really, the prophetic ministry in the areas of vision. There's always been people who've had visions, but during times, there was less and less. One of the things is we looked at whether a person is considered a prophet. I've had numbers of times I've had visions and seen things and stuff. And we're at a time that God's restoring things. God has restored stuff back to the church. God's showing his stuff to his people. We need to understand at the same time that these things are going on, if I would take, during the time, when I was at Rhema. When I was at Rhema, and I went there in 1987, in 88, and left in 89, was really a major move of God going on there at that time when I was at Rhema. It wasn't because I showed up. I was just thank God I got to be in this move of God. But there was a lot going on. But I want you to understand this. There was a lot of nonsense went on. There was a lot of demonic stuff that happened and people followed after, big name ministers during that time. One of those things is, you know, there was a move of God there and stuff happening. In fact, some of Brother Hagin's most notable prophecies came out of that period of time. And things that went on, but yet there was all kind of deception. I was there when this Lucy Riel thing took place, this woman with oil coming out of her hands and all this kind of stuff. I was there during that time and I watched major ministers just flock after it and walk after it. And I, people that from Rhema, people that were, you know, connected with Rhema and all these different ones, their word ministers and all that, just fell for it, fell for the thing. And it's the same thing that came along when they came along with this gold flake stuff. Just loads of the word people just jumped on board of this thing and went after it. I mean, they just follow after it. Whenever there comes a major move of God, you're going to have a major move of flake. You need to watch it. You're going to have good ministers that are going to turn around and get deceived. Number one, I could name you ministers. They give you their names, and I will guarantee you within the next few years, you're going to hear them doing some of the dumbest stuff you've ever heard in your life, following things, because they always have. Every time something comes along and seems a little supernatural, they're in the middle of it. We don't move by what we see. We follow the Spirit. You're not moved by it. Thank God. It's one thing is I stick with this and I'm going to stay with it, you know. Stick with what you see in the Bible, you know. The idea, I don't care if something looks like it's supernatural happened. In what way is it ministering to people or helping people? Is it, or is it just a show? God don't put on a show. Look at Jesus' ministry. Did he put on a show? Did he just do miracle things to show how great he was? No, he never did. Healed people, raised the dead, you know. That's what, blessed people. That's what the ministry of the Spirit is. It's not to magnify people. It's to magnify Jesus Christ. This is why people get off into this. Is when the Lord, we talked the vision last week, not last week, the week before we talked about with Kenneth Hagin's vision then. I said about that, about deception. Many of my people, he said, are going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived. He said, and he told us how not to be deceived. He said, number one, follow the word. Number one, follow the word. Not number one, follow ministers and follow prophecies. Number one. Follow the word. Number two, the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Number three, he said in me. I hear people say this, well, I'm just following Jesus. Well, if you're not following the word and you don't know the Holy Ghost, you're following the devil, I'll guarantee you. You wouldn't even know Jesus. You can't know Jesus except by the word of the Spirit. You can't know him. The Spirit's the revealer of Jesus. That's how we follow Jesus. Say the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, you're going to have to, you better know how to, you know, how would you know he's following Christ? Unless you're following the Word, the Spirit, you wouldn't know. So you always want to stick with the Word of God. You have a safety there. That's the whole point of the safety, is the Word, is what the Word says. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be afraid. This is why I'm saying, we're walking in the Word. I'm not concerned about these end times. I'm not concerned at all. I'm fine. Hallelujah. I ain't worried about this. I'm not going to get deceived because I'm going to stay and follow Jesus. I'm going to stop and question stuff if it doesn't seem right to me. And if nobody likes me questioning it, then I won't follow it. When people are so sure it's God, and if you ain't allowed to question them, it's a good chance it's not because they aren't godly. Brother Hagin would have never said a thing to anybody if we'd have questioned him about anything, and he said he would have nicely sit and explain whatever it was. That's what he done. He didn't ever treat you like all these other ministers. If you ever question them, who are you to question me? You know, who are you? What would you question me for? You know, I don't even let God do that. But anyhow, so one of the things that I wanted to, I'm going to read to you another prophecy by an individual, really that bears in line of things going on. Because we don't want to see that things come from just one side or one person or one somebody saying it and things. This is a vision that took place with Dr. Mark Barclay. He was known among the groups. In fact, I don't know what he's doing now. This goes back to 1987. In fact, we were at that camp meeting where Mark Barclay was there at that one in 1987. It says in the middle, in his thing here that I want to read to you that happened. It happened at camp meeting. It happened to him. He was in the audience. And it says, in 1987, he said, I was a speaker at a camp meeting, he said, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He spoke during Thursday evening service. He says, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin spoke during the Friday evening service. He said, I remember that I had just flown in from a meeting in Paris, France. He said, I mentioned to my wife how I would like to stay and hear Dr. Hagin speak. She agreed. As Dr. Hagin entered the pulpit, he began to pray in tongues. He said, when he started, I started. And he said, a moment later, he said, I was caught up in a vision. He said, I was told later that it was probably more like a trance. He said, as I went in this vision, he said, I remember how Dr. Hagin's voice was getting quieter and quieter until I couldn't hear him no more. It was so quiet all around me. He said, I felt like I could hear my own heartbeat. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I felt evil as if they were surrounding me. He said, anger arose in me. And he said, fear tried to get a grip on me. He said, suddenly something caught my attention out of my left eye. He said, I turned hard to the left to see what it was. And he said, I saw the circumference of the earth. And from one edge of the other, he said, and this horrible black dark cloud was rising. He said, up over the horizon. He said, somehow I knew it would eventually fill the entire earth. He said, an alarm went off in me, screaming to me to run away from it as fast as I could. He said, I felt like I should scream at it to stop it in its tracks by using the name of Jesus. He said, I began to rebuke it and started to say, in the name of Jesus. He said, I didn't quite get it out. And the Lord said, that will do you no good. And then he said, what I said? And he said, the Lord said, son, you cannot use my name to stop what I prophesy. He said, I'm not causing this dark cloud, but I did prophesy it would happen in the last days. He said, I remembered in the vision that I had asked the Lord, what is this? What is this evil, tempestuous, dark cloud? And the Lord said, this is what I showed my prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61 and 2. I don't know if you're familiar with that. We could look at that prophecy. Just look at it quickly, what he said in the beginning of it. Probably would be good for us to do that, just quick, so you know what Isaiah said with that. Okay, pages, let's move. All right. And it says there, it says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, lots of people, when they do this and they read these, because this prophecy is used many times by people, and they talk about the glory. They don't ever talk about the darkness. And they have the idea that the light comes, it's going to get rid of all the darkness. It doesn't say that. It says the glory will rise on you. It doesn't say glory is going to rise on everybody. See, many times, I would like to think that, and I learned from Kenneth Hagin, which I really appreciate him saying, he said, if God gives a word, don't make a sentence out of it. But people get this idea, well, when the glory comes, it's going to change everything. No, it's not. Might change you because you're willing. God ain't going to force anybody to yield to the glory. We need to get this, and the church somehow gets this idea, when this thing comes, nobody has, oh, it's all just going to turn out and everything. You know, like everybody's going to have to cooperate. I ain't never seen that. I've never seen the glory get that good before that everybody cooperated. but it says, this is the very evil thing you can name. It is every evil demon, it's every disease, it's every sickness and bacterial attacks that haven't been discovered yet. It will cause humans to do things to humans that aren't even human. It is filled with insanity and many people who will lose their minds and their faculties. It's murder, terror, rape, abuse, terrorism, torture, and much worse. It's filled with deception, heresies, perversions, and filth. Some things the Lord showed me I'm not have permission to speak. See, this is one of the things. Look what's going on today. Isn't it getting insane? People are doing the nuttiest things that even destroy themselves, and they just keep doing it. It's just the craziest things don't work. I mean, I listened to a thing in New York, in their structure, their state government is. In the House, they have this guy who's a black guy who's the head of their, I guess what it's considered, they have a House and Senate, just like we do here in our state. And he's the head of the House. And he's the guy that pushed this thing that if we turn around and don't give criminals, we let them go and don't bother them or let them go, they'll quit doing it. And he's pushed that. That's why in New York we have all this. That's why in New York City they let people out all the time. You know, they just had a thing up there. These guys attacked a cop. They were also, you know, had attempted murder on somebody and stuff. And they were taken, arrested, and released, no bail. This is why it's going on. Now, does that even make sense to you? That if you don't put a bad guy in jail, he's going to quit doing bad. Now, that doesn't sound strange to you. Hey, parents do it all the time. They don't punish their kids. Think somehow, I talk to them about it. I talk to them. Yeah, I told them, you won't do that anymore. That's not nice. Okay, let's go on. Hey, we're living in an insane world of insane people doing things that are called love that are the most evil and hatredful things you have ever seen in your life. They will destroy every good thing on love. Love is, I hate to even use the term love in our English language anymore because it is the most worthless piece of junk. People love their chicken as much as they love their God, and I love this. I hear people saying this, and they say they love God, and I think, well, you love your dog too, so you say it all the time, and you love this. We use that term, and we throw it out there, and it's become a piece of garbage, and it means nothing. It don't mean a thing. We need to stop this stuff. We need to watch what we're saying with our mouth. That's why our people's faith don't work. Bible tells me what I'm supposed to love. And it ain't none of the stuff that everybody else talks about loving. Supposed to love my wife, love the Lord. Don't love the neighbor's wife. You know, it tells me what I'm supposed to do. And outside of that, you know what? I've had great pets, but I didn't love none of them. The great pets. But I can't use that term. Mm-hmm. I can't use that term and God. And you can't. Because what you're going to do, you're going to mess up your whole thinking. And you're going to do it, blame it on the devil's doing this to me and that to me. No. Your voice is going out all the time. Your voice is going out there all the time of the things you think's important. And you use that word love for God, you lose, I love this and I love that and I love my new shirt and I love my new this and I like that and you know. And those words are going out there. What do you think God thinks of when we're worshiping and we're using the word love and we just got done using it 47 times during the week on stupid stuff?
Wow. That's
so true. Yeah. Because if you're good, oh, this is picky. No, it ain't picky, ridiculous. You know what it means to me? If somebody says, I love you, I just wonder what they've been using that word for. You know, go out and look in their car and they got a sticker. You know, I love my two poodles or something. I say, okay. Yeah, they love it. But I'll guarantee you they'll pick the poodles every time. Hey, good preaching. It's good preaching, folks. Because we need to get, now this thing really gets serious as we go into reading this, because it gets really serious because of what's going on. We're heading in a type, the spirit of Antichrist is in full blast mode in America and the world right now. Mm-hmm. And 90% of the church has no idea it's going on because of what they believe and teach and say and talk. And we need to understand this thing here. You know, we're playing, you need to understand, you're playing on a different ball field than most Christianity is.
Thank God.
Thank God you are, but you know, if you sit down and really try to equate, I listen to things of other Christians sitting around and they're talking about, well, they go to a good church and I think, what do they preach there? What do they say to these people? Things that come out of their mouth. And I think, what do they talk about? What they really, how do they, don't they understand where we're at and what's going on out here? They don't understand the danger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're living in very dangerous times. The scripture tells us we're in dangerous times. This is dangerous. Well, how do you live in dangerous times? You watch yourself.
Amen.
You know, just like you won't walk in the street at night by yourself out around in some places. You don't go there. Well, there's some places you don't go there spiritually or the devil will eat your lunch. And then you'll complain and say, lay hands on me so I can get healed. That'll never happen. You go out and play in his field. He can have you. And we need to understand that. These things are dangerous times. There is more demonic stuff going on a little bit.
Amen.
And we need to understand it. I'm not preaching fear. I know how to protect myself. I know how to protect myself in the natural if I go do things and go and so on. I know what to do. Well, spiritually, you need too. There's demons, the devil. There's one thing, it's like the devil don't like Ed. I know that. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, he has most of the rest of the Christians in his hands. He have to spend a lot of time with them. I mean, he can get to them easy enough. Mm-hmm. Wow. But you need to know, you're walking with God. He wants you.
Hallelujah.
He wants you. He don't want, he owns too many other people. He wants you. He's out targeting the ones that he wants to get over in his, you know, gets over in his camp. And understand that about it. Don't be surprised people aren't so tickled about you walking where you walk.
Amen. Preach.
Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you what, you know, it's like Brother Hagin told us, if people start talking too nice about me, he said, I start checking all my life to see what All right, here we go. I'll go on here and read where it says, the Lord said, this is what I showed my prophet. He said in Isaiah, he said, 61 and 2, he said, this is the very evil. And he went on to tell how bad this evil was. Then he said, I also saw people, many, many people. Some were running into the dark cloud and some were being sucked into it. He said, it reminded me of this very powerful shop vac I have. It will not only suck up the dirt, but also the tools if I don't pay attention. I have one of those and it'll do it. It'll suck tools up like that. But he said, I saw many people screaming with terror and actually being dragged into the cloud. Though they were refusing it and resisting it with all their strength, they still did not possess the power to stop it. I was so disturbed when I saw a cross or someone's pocket or jewelry. He said, I remember saying to the Lord, who are these people being drawn into the filth and terror wearing the Christian symbol of the cross? Who are these people not even resisting? And who are these people resisting with all their might, but it does them no good? They just keep disappearing into this horrible, evil cloud of gross darkness. He said, the Lord answered and said, oh, these are those who did not have clean hands and a pure heart. They have been warned but ignored the warnings. Some even wanted this filth as their lifestyle. I ask, well, who are these wearing the crosses? Oh, the Lord said, these are the people who claim me a savior. Many of them have desired this filth and even fought for it. You see that today in the church world? Oh, we got to love all the home, every pervert. You love to take them in where all God loves us all. Well, I'm going to tell you what. They're going to get sucked in this darkness. I'm just going to tell you, when Jesus comes, they will not be going. Mm-hmm. They're going to be here in a tribulation. That's what they're going to be. It's going to be ugly. He goes on, he said, they make excuses but are not excused. The ones who are resisting, thought my prophets were exaggerating and from the old school, and they denied the warnings. Now this is the evil has come. They possess little to no power and certainly not enough to resist and overcome this horrible onslaught of the enemy's power. Only those with clean hands and a pure heart will be able to totally resist. It will cover the earth. So it doesn't sound really like a lot of fun, does it? See, I'm not worried about it. Now when he talks about, you say clean hands and pure heart. Well, I'm perfect and everything. No, we're perfect by our faith.
Amen.
We're clean hands and a pure. Well, you know, you're either following God or you're not.
Amen.
Let me just say this. It's an easy explanation. You know, the Scripture tells us about the church at Laodicea, and if you look at the church at Laodicea, it's called a lukewarm church. Now, God seems to hate the lukewarm more than He does the cold. Well, why would that be? The great danger for anybody in the earth today is a lukewarm Christian. And why? Mm-hmm. It's a simple thing. The Christian who's hot knows it. The Christian who's cold knows it.
Yep.
The person who's lukewarm every time think they're okay.
Yeah. Amen.
And if you question them about their lukewarm life, they will get mad at you. They will say things about you and, well, God loves me and blah, blah, blah. And they just go on in their filthy lives. Lukewarm is the worst spot to be. Don't ever stay there. Don't ever lead to lukewarm. Because lukewarm is really a deceitful place and a deceiving spot. And it's nothing worse than to think that you're all right. You know, well, I don't have to do this. I don't have to go to church all the time. I don't have to do this. You know, I'm just as good. I'm believing in Jesus. You know, I'm all right. I'm okay. Hey, well, we find out that the Lord's not going to tolerate that. Mm-hmm. That's intolerable. He says here, they make excuses but are not excused. And this is what's going to happen to a lot of people. They're in those places today. And so, now let me tell you, I'll tell you this. God, one thing is about the goodness of God. Now, God knows there's people who will turn and people who won't. But God's going to give in this last day move everybody an opportunity to either get in or get out. Amen. When it's done, they'll know, either in or out, it'll be, we'll know who's in and who's out. We will. But He will give people opportunity. There's one thing as we know this for a fact. Jesus said Himself that many of my people will not be ready to meet me. They're going to turn back. The move of the Spirit, they're going to turn back, it says. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be ready to meet Him when He's coming. They're going to go off into this stuff. People are getting deceived. People don't realize the power of demonic spirits and what they're doing today. Mm-hmm. People are deceived like crazy. They don't see it. Mm-hmm. And you see, from a standpoint, you know, when we walk in the light of the Word, we walk in the light of we know, we're resisting a lot of things that really we walk through every day, and it doesn't really affect us from the standpoint because of where we walk. But it isn't that way with everybody. People are constantly taunted and tormented all the time. You know, things come against me. I know what to do, stand and do what I know what to do right away. It's become the norm way of life. This is just the way we live. It isn't nothing. I don't think about it. People say, well, it's hard to stand today. Well, no, it's not hard to me. I've been practicing this now for 44 years. I know how to do it. You know, if I was laying block for 44 years, I could do it with a blindfold on. You know, you can just do it. This, I've learned over the years, this is what you do. You have this life. And see, we go along in this, and this is the norm, the way we live. And so if something comes, we don't magnify and make huge, big things out. Something comes knocking on the door, I'm just going to believe God. This is what I do. God's going to help me in this thing. He's going to do. You get the person, and they run into anything big, and they haven't been doing that. They don't know what to do. They call prayer chains. They go to people. They call pastors of churches they never go to and say, well, you know, you do something for me. You help me. And I always just tell them, I ain't Harry Potter. Why'd you call me? Mm-hmm. Call Harry Potter. He's the guy with the wand. I ain't got one. You know? Say, I ain't got a wand? Say, hey, you ain't been following God, walking with God? Do you expect me to just go poof and this thing's going to go away? No, the devil's going to eat your lunch.
Amen.
I ask people anymore, do you want to change? Do you really want to change life? Do you? If you don't want to change your life, there's no point in me wasting my time. There's nothing I can do for you. It wasn't doing me any good. Do you want to change life? See, people want wonderful results doing dumb stuff. Hallelujah. We're smarter than that, aren't we? We do the right thing. Hallelujah. Just keep doing the right thing. Just keep walking in the right thing. And I'll tell you, it pays off for you. You got it.
Hallelujah.
Don't worry about this stuff. Hallelujah. You know how to walk. You know how to live.
Amen.
Smile.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise you know what God. To do. Hallelujah. Well, so he said, there was much more to this, but he said, I began to come out of the vision. And he said, once again, I heard Brother Hagin speaking in tongues from the pulpit. Now, it's very interesting. How long you would say, I found that getting on the Spirit, when you think something was a certain amount of time, it's you usually find out that things that you thought were a while that happened weren't a while. It's like, it seems like you were gone, you, like with him, he was gone, he goes back, Brother Hagin still hasn't moved, he still hears Brother Hagin praying in tongues, so this happened in a very short period, window of time, but yet it seemed like a longer period of time to him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I find out, is that you get over into things of spirit sometimes, think they're a long period of time, but they're not at all. And so, we're going to find then he has another. So we find, because there's going, we find again, there's two things going on at the same time in the earth. He said, I asked my wife what had happened, and she said, nothing. He hasn't done anything but pray in the Spirit. He said, I began to realize that nobody seemed to see the vision or get caught up in this trance but me. He said, I held my wife's hand a little tighter, and he said, I began to pray fervently in the Spirit. And he says, I did. I got caught into the Spirit again. He said, but just like before, he said, Brother Hagin's voice got quieter and quieter until it was gone. He said, I found myself alone again. It was so quiet, he said, I heard my own heartbeat. Suddenly, a piercing light hit the corner of my right eye. He said it was so bright that I instantly shrouded my head and my hands with my hands and arms. He said it reminded me of the intense light that my optometrist uses to examine the back of my eyes. Actually, it was much brighter than that. He said everything within me said, turn and look into it. He said, turn now and run into it. Yet, he said, there was this hesitation because it was so bright it seemed to shine through me. He said, finally, I gave in to it. He said, I looked directly at it, and he said, with both eyes, I saw the depth of this bright cloud. Just like the dark cloud had seen before, it was coming up over the horizon of the earth. And he said, I could see that this was going to cover the planet. I just knew that... That I knew nothing could stop it. He said, I remembered asking the Lord, what is this? What is this mass earth-consuming bright cloud? And the Lord answered and said, oh, this is my glory. This is the glory cloud that I showed my prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. This is what I promise, that my glory will fill the whole earth. I says, well, I ask, what is in this cloud? He said, it is filled with the greatest miracles humans have ever seen. It's filled with healing of every disease and every cure for every disease. It's power to overcome in sin and filth, to receive the truth and reject error, heresy and doctrines of demons. It is the full manifestation of my spirit, and it is full anointing of Jesus Christ and more and much more. It's one thing we need to understand is this is why God moving as powerfully he does, in this manner, before Jesus comes, there will be no excuse for anybody to say they didn't know. Because they're going to see the full manifestation. Up until this time, no humans have seen the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the earth. We've never seen the full. This is going to take place in the full manifestation. Now, it's going to happen, but understand, we still have these people over here that got into this darkness. And they're captured over in this thing, and they're following. Light's going to come. But that don't mean they're coming out. We need to understand that. It says, so, he said, he showed me other things that I had have not permission to speak in this about this. He said, I saw people in the vision, just like before the cloud of darkness. He said, many people were running in and almost frolicking in it. It was like my first response to bright, too bright to behold. And he said, then I wanted to run into it. There were those who seemed to want to pull away from this glory cloud. Doesn't that seem strange? That's what the Lord said to me. He said, there's going to be places of great light, great darkness. He said, there's people who aren't going to like the light, and they're going to move to places where it's dark. And he said, there's people in places of darkness that aren't going to like it, and they're going to move to places of light. See, this is one of the great... It's hard for you and I to understand, but there are people who love darkness. Mm-hmm. We don't like to... It doesn't make sense to you and I. Because, you know, we love the light. And we think this is wonderful, and we live here in this place. It's hard to conceive that there's people who love darkness, but there are. That's the way that it is. Understand, these two things are going to be going on at the same time in the earth. This darkness is going to cover, God's glory is going to come. That darkness ain't going to run off and hide. It's going to be here. It's still going to be eating up people. There are people going to be going with it. And he says, Lord, who will enter this great glory of God and enter this awesome power, I ask? Those who have pure hearts and clean hands, the Lord said. They are the ones who will escape the horrible vacuum of the evil dark cloud and be consumed with my glory. I will require you to tell these things to my people at an appointed time, and now is that time. As I travel the world over, he said, I see both these manifestations happening. In fact, he said, I see them beginning to intensify. Sometimes I say that both God and Satan are having a revival among men. And that's exactly what's going on. There's two revivals going on. There's a revival of the Satan going on in the earth. Don't you see? There's people are following after him. They're joining his revival. They're joining it. He said, sometimes I say, he goes on to say, they're having revival. He says, we now see more and more people running into each cloud, causing a great gulf or divide. See, that's what the Lord told me. America is going to be great divide, dark and light. You see, now the things that the Lord told me were like in dealing with this, of hearing His prophet, hearing this vision. I hadn't heard His. But see, when I heard things and I came back to His, I thought, God's staying the same things. He shows in different ways and different, it's the same stuff. It's the same things. And this is what I want, this is why I spend the time emphasizing concerning the dark side, is because all we ever hear from most people call themselves prophets, everything's going to be wonderful and everything is going to be good. And then people look and they say, well, why is everything so messed up? It's because these guys are like the prophets in Jeremiah's day. Mm-hmm. Everything was dark and bad. They kept saying everything was going to get good. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to hear both sides, folks. Amen. Don't be a fool. These guys are all saying everything's going to be good. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. And the reason we should tell is just for the simple fact is I want you to know that there's nothing weird about you that you see this stuff going on out here. It doesn't, you know, God can take care of you. But when you see these goings on, this is just part of the time. This nutty stuff that's going on. It's just part of the time. Just where we're living. Hallelujah. You didn't miss it.
Amen.
See, I believe that's why Paul, in dealing with the church at Thessalonica, they got over, and people, you know, the Lord's come back, or he's going to be one, and they see bad times going on. Hold it, we must have missed it here sometime. These bad times shouldn't be going on. See, no, that's not it. All right. He said, could this be the separation, he said, of the sheep and the goats, or the separation of the wheat and the tares? He said, I am not a conspiracy theory person. He said, I'm not a fear-based preacher. He said, I'm not a prophet of doom. So what I am about to say is none of these, but he said, I'm actually witnessing the spirit of the Antichrist prepping the people of the earth, including many churchgoers, for the arrival of the Antichrist himself. I see demon spirits of the Antichrist going throughout all the earth. They are slowly reprogramming the minds of men, doctrines of demons, to systematically disassemble the work of Christ and disengage the army of God. He said, you can avoid this if you choose. If you choose not to, you will suffer the consequences. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand this. Anything the devil, he wants to take the word out of you. He wants to make you question the word. That's what he does.
Yep.
Is the Bible true? Is it really true? You know, all the centuries before, the people walked in, all had changed in people's lives. And somehow, the devil gets a person to believe, when you step up in your time, you question, well, this is really true, like it makes a difference. We only have years, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years of history that it works. And they think in their little weenie's life about that long is some kind of big importance to what truth is. One thing it tells me this, they're deceived.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. They got deceived. And you don't get deceived by God. You don't get deceived by people. You get deceived by devils. When people quit believing in the Word, they always quit believing in devils. They think that they can take care of their life and they're all right and I'm okay and I can do this. That's the great danger. You become God. I gave up being God a long time ago.
Amen.
I tried that one.
Hallelujah.
Didn't work. Hallelujah. Well, you know, God hasn't quit in the earth. He's gonna ring the bell some more. He's gonna give people an opportunity. There's a move of God. We're gonna talk about things that God had shown me concerning the end times. I'm a total believer in a last day move of God on the earth, that there's gonna be a great move. God's gonna give an opportunity. He's gonna do things. There are people who decided, they've made decisions to be deceived. They've made decisions, they're heading in a direction. There are people who have been deceived, who will come out of that deception in the move of God. But there are people who have walked in the light, and at the end, they'll go back into darkness. They'll, you know. There are people that are so set against. You know, it's one of the things that I think it blows my mind, that I it is beyond me to how any minister of the gospel who believes in salvation, who says he doesn't believe in, you know, the healing thing and talks about it, but yet in their church take prayer requests for people that are sick. And don't believe that God heals everybody. Well, then what would it do any good to pray for the person? You can't do it by faith. Which tells me this. They don't know a thing about faith. They're open targets for the devil. They are open targets to be deceived. You know? We don't believe God heals everybody. Pray for me. I want to get well. Well, maybe God wants you sick. You ought to stay sick, sister. You know? Like, well, I mean, that would be honesty if that's what you believe.
Right.
But they're liars in the pulpits. Act like they care about people. We're going to pray for you. We don't know if God wants to do a thing for you. He might have made you sick. He wants you to die early and that stuff because there's some great glory that he's going to get. No, he gets another idiot in heaven. It's like, come on. I think, what do these people do? You cross over the other side and figure, man, I never knew Jesus at all. Never knew him. You know, so many people step across and they never knew him. I'm just going to tell you this. You don't know the Holy Spirit, didn't know Jesus Christ because you've read the Bible, know things the Bible said about him. He's not information in a book. He's a person.
Amen.
He's a person that I fellowship with.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He's a God person. He's in a glorified human body. And you know him by experiencing with him. You don't know anybody just by reading a book. I don't know George Washington. I can read as many books about him as I want. I can never know. One day, maybe he's in heaven, I'll get to talk to him. But I don't have personal fellowship to really know him. I don't know his idiosyncrasies and what he's. There's things that I can just say this. There's things I know personally more about Jesus than I do about my wife. You can get very intimate with Jesus.
Amen.
I can know how he. You know, down here, you and I, we can change what we do. He never changes. He don't ever.
Amen.
I always know what he's going to do. There's things that I always know how he'll react. There's things that I always know about him. There's things about personally that you can get to know with him, fellowship, what he's like, how he deals with things. His personality is nothing like you ever run into in anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You never. And once you meet it, you just find out there's nobody like him.
Amen.
Nobody like Jesus. Nobody can take his place. Hallelujah. Because we as humans in relationships with people, sometimes we change, sometimes we do the unexpected when the other person never expected. What made you do that? You ever do that thing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Jesus don't do the weird. He don't get flayed. He don't get out of bed one morning on the wrong side. He don't have a wrong side. He never sleeps nor slumbers. So he never happens. He never has get moody. He don't. Those things never happen with him. Hallelujah. And so you can't know how people are and how Jesus is. You can't know that. Jesus is a different. He don't have any of the idiosyncrasies of the rest humans do. Hallelujah. The amazing thing, he likes me. And all of my idiosyncrasy, all of my stuff. Hallelujah. And he knows I really like him. I do. I appreciate him so much. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Lord. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we see these things, but Lord God, I thank you, Lord God. When I see them and Lord, I read about them, they don't make me afraid. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, I know in whom I've trusted. I know where my faith lies at. I know the one, hallelujah, who's my deliverer and my salvation. Lord, I can always trust you. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, that Lord God, the power, Lord God, that is in us, Lord God, the word of God that we have, it'll keep us. It'll hold us steady in these times. Lord God, we're not going under, we're going over. Lord God, we're stepping into some places, Lord God, to see and understand that we have never known or ever seen before. Lord, the light will shine out of darkness. And Lord God, it's like anything. The brighter the light gets, the more you can see that you couldn't see before. And now, Lord God, we're stepping in. The light's getting brighter. Lord God, and the vision ahead gets clearer and clearer. Hallelujah. And the steps that we make before us are more sure and more sound. And so we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord God, for a move of your Spirit, Lord God, for an awakening. Lord, because there's many of your people that are backslidden. They're not walking where they should anymore. Lord God, they declare that they're all right. But Lord God, they're lying. They're lying, and some of them even know they're lying. Lord God, but Father, you still love them, and you still want to call them back again. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we want to walk right, live right, walk where we're supposed to, Lord, to be a benefit, to draw them back. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to join in whatever they're doing. Lord, we're praying, Lord, for them to be delivered and set free from the darkness that holds them. And Father God, because we know men, Lord, we all know people who, Lord, acclaim Christ and claim to be saved, but Lord, aren't walking where they should. And Lord God, Lord, they're not all right. But Lord God, we sure want them to be. And Lord God, we desire this move. We want this glory that's coming. what is the full glory of God in the earth. Hallelujah. That shines bright again, Lord God, that many of those who have slipped into darkness will come back again to the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.